Hello and welcome to Gotta Classify 'Em All, a podcast where childhood memories meet science. Each episode we talk about a Pokemon and the science that may have inspired it. In this episode we discuss the ninth Pokemon, Blastoise. I'm your co-host and 2000 regional Pokemon tournament winner, Camden Hanslick-Burton. And joining me is my co-host and Pokemon trainer in training, Margaret Hanslick-Burton.
Welcome to the show!
Everybody, thank you for listening in. So excited to be back on those airwaves. We got a public episode for you.
We
episode
do.
Nine.
We're excited to get it out to you. And you know, this is episode nine. We know that this is also on our other podcasts feed. Our other podcast, our primary podcast, is what is it, Camden?
Don't be, are you quizzing me?
Yeah.
Don't be on your leg and other scientific misconceptions.
Nice.
I think you've been teaching too many kids.
You passed. Great job. Great listening. Great comprehension. Yes. So don't be on your leg and other scientific misconceptions. You must like something about this show. You know, you've been here with us for a while. And if you haven't, I'm sure you like what you're hearing. So the question has got to be in your mind, just buzzing around there. How on earth can I show Margaret and Camden that I love their podcast so much that I really appreciate all the work that they put into it? How can I support them?
Well, Margaret,
yes.
And others who might be wondering
Everyone
exactly what Margaret's
wondering.
Thinking,
mm-hmm.
You can support Gotta Classify 'Em All and our other podcasts, Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, by supporting us on Patreon, and you'll then earn access to our bonus content. That bonus content is every other week. Instead of just hearing these public episodes, like episode 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9,
mm-hmm.
You'll also get the even-numbered episodes of Gotta Classify 'Em All, and you'll get to learn about double the Pokemon and quadruple the science. So you can catch that by going to our Patreon. Margaret, how will they do that?
You can go to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg. Again, that is patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg. And as always, if you can't afford to financially support the show, no worries. We completely understand. You can help us out by telling your friends and your family about this show. That helps us just as well. So we're excited that you're here with us. On to the show.
All right, Margaret, we have a letter. A longtime listener, first-time writer has written to us.
Yep, you did it. Yep.
and I'm just going to read it.
Go
so
ahead. Can I help you read it?
Yeah.
I was always a kid in class who my hand would shoot up when someone, when a teacher would say,
can anyone
read this out loud?
Yeah.
Ugh,
here,
please.
I'll set the stage.
Okay, go ahead.
There's something on the board. Would anyone like to read
Me.
This?
I would. Please. Please. Oh, please. 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 No, I'm just kidding. I would be very quiet
Margaret.
And very attentive.
Margaret, go ahead.
Thank you so much. So the letter begins. In a recent episode, Gotta Classify 'Em All, episode 7, Squirtle, you question whether there are non-Pokemon-like animals such as mosquitoes in the Pokemon universe. It is my belief that all animals in the Pokemon universe are in fact Pokemon. While I think there are some mentions of bugs that are prey to Pokemon, it's my hope that these bugs are in fact insect-type Pokemon. Perhaps they are no good for fighting, which is why they aren't named or classified in the Pokedex. As for prey versus fighter, it's my deeply held belief that until individual Pokemon have been captured by a trainer, they are wild animals and have natural prey and predators that are in fact other Pokemon. So Squirtle could be hunting another water-dwelling Pokemon for sustenance. Perhaps Magikarp and Horsies? Am I getting that right?
That's very funny. I should have definitely had you read this. You have no idea what you're saying.
Magikarp, I know is right. I've heard people
yeah.
do that.
No, you
Horsies?
Said those right. You just don't know what they
okay.
are yet.
Would make good prey for a Squirtle? Really makes you wonder which of the Pokemon is the apex predator.
That's a great question.
Little thinking emoji face. Anyways, I hope my proofless and sourceless answers, conjectures, and ponderings have proven useful. I want to give you my appreciation for creating such an entertaining and informational show on the groundbreaking science dealing with Pokemon. Yours sincerely, Justin. Thank you so much, Justin, for your input. I appreciate this point of view. It's interesting, the idea that they are wild animals with prey and predators until they are captured by a trainer.
Yeah, I think we're only going to be talking about this all the time. I mean, once you brought it up, it just spurred more thinking of what are animals? Are there different animals in this universe?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is this universe that they're all playing within?
How do they interact outside of Pokeball, outside of a gym?
Yep.
Okay.
They don't have to just fight in gyms.
Oh, they can fight on their own time.
They just fight wherever. Gyms are where you earn badges.
Ah,
and you beat a gym leader.
Okay. I see. But really, Justin, I appreciate your thoughtfulness. I appreciate you writing into us. And I agree with your point of view. Again, I am not a Pokemon trainer. I'm very new to this, so I'm going to take your word as truth. Oh. Thank you so much.
Well, I didn't know what a gym was a moment ago, but that's fine.
That's the nitty gritty, though.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. And if any of you listening have questions, comments, or want to weigh in on the what do Pokemon eat and what are animals / Pokemon in their universe, please email us at gottaclassify@gmail.com.
All right, Camden, so what is the Pokemon of the week?
Margaret, we have reached what I'm moderately confident is almost the end of the Pokemon you're going to know really well. Yes, Pikachu will show up at some point. And then...
Horsies.
Yeah, but
Magikarp.
Sure.
I know a lot about them.
Yeah, I bet.
Water type.
Yep, I'm going to ask you in 24 hours what their names were.
Magikarp, Horsies.
Yeah. So... all I say is that I'm excited for what comes after this episode, because I think we're sort of at the edge of the forest here, about to enter into the deep land of other Pokemon you've never heard of.
Uh-huh. That is a long name for a forest.
What? Oh, okay. Well, so our friend today is Blastoise. All right. So I like to break down the etymology. I used to do this for my students in my science classroom. It doesn't always make much of sense when we do it with Pokemon, because it doesn't always help.
Mm-hmm.
Blast comes from the Old English blast, which is a blowing, or a breeze, or a puff of wind.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense.
Sure.
And it might have Germanic roots too. Okay. But, okay.
Okay, but what about the oys? Blastoise.
So, oys.
Oy.
I couldn't... Good one. You said that so cautiously, very far away from the microphone.
Oi!
Good one.
Blastoise. England did something in soccer recently.
So they lost.
That's my other podcast.
We're really rubbing it into
that I don't know anything about.
You break down like European soccer matches.
Based on no information or knowledge at all. Okay.
There you go.
Tell me about the oys part.
So it comes from tortoise.
What?
Right.
Yes, I've been pronouncing it wrong my whole life. It's turtoise.
Turtoise. Tortoise. So, I had never thought of this until I was preparing for this episode. I thought maybe, because I was trying to think of other words, because it looks like a lot of dictionaries were like, oh, you mean like, or like moi, like a French ending.
Mm.
So like,
Blastois.
Bestois, yes, which is
Blastoise.
Just came from tortoise, which, as we went over last time for Squirtle, is from old French and Spanish tortu or tortuga.
So really, should it be pronounced blastus?
Like it's either blastus or tortoise, but we've landed on blastoise. I like blastus.
I like Blastus, or I like both, tortoise. Okay.
Seems easier to call it Blastus than it is to make everyone change the way they pronounce tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is Blastus, Blastoise, and Margaret, what do you think we're going to see with this boy?
Okay.
This friend.
So this, what has been the progression here? It was Squirtle, and then we had who was the second one? Oh my goodness.
Oof.
Squeegee.
The one he evolves into?
Squeegee.
Squeegee, yes.
No, what was it?
It had Erdle in it.
Squirtle.
It had another letter in it that made us pronounce it differently than I've always heard it pronounced.
Tell me.
Wartortle.
Wartortle.
Wartortle. We've always heard it pronounced Wartortle, but it's spelled with an O. Wartortle.
So Squirtle was a cute little turtle-y looking boy. One.
Yep.
And then the second one, whose name I've already forgotten.
Wartortle. Remember it had the little like cloud puffy white ears and tail. Foxtail. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh gosh. So this one really could be anything. I'm going to say this is a 15 foot tall. It's got to have a shell of some kind.
Okay.
Was Wartortle blue as well?
Yes.
I think so. Okay.
So it's going to be blue.
So it's probably going to be blue, has some sort of shell. I'm going to say it's like a blue lion lioness looking animal with a turtle shell.
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing, because they've always got to up the ante. Can I scroll down?
Scroll down.
It has artillery?
Yeah, blast. It's looking at the cannons. Have you not seen this one before?
No.
Oh, that's great.
No.
This is why we do this show.
I don't understand. Everything has been kind of organic so far. Like with Bulbasaur and his evolution.
This is really bad. Wartortle.
No. I'm talking about Bulbasaur.
Oh, Bulbasaur. Sorry, yeah, I thought you were thinking of...
But with Bulbasaur...
Ivysaur and Venusaur. Yes.
Even as those evolutions happened and progressed and got like bigger and more powerful, they always still had like a flower on their back or some sort of natural element. Same thing with Charizard and Charmander and Charmeleon. Sure, they were a mythical sort of animal, but they didn't ever like hold a cell phone or like have a bike helmet on. But then we introduce this gentleman or gentle lady here, this Blastoise that has, I guess, is growing cannons out of their shell?
Yep.
I am aghast. I am agog. I am aghast.
So, upon remembering, there are definitely Pokemon later that are more... like item-like, right? Like they're not just, like you were saying, organic. They're not an animal fully. But I can only think of one.
That has this kind of like inorganic sort of like man-made.
It kind of hits right now and then I don't think we'll see one for a while. I could be wrong. I don't remember the order of them very well. So, and I try not to look ahead.
Okay. Wow. All right. Tell me about this.
So, yeah, this is Blastoise.
This creature.
Margaret, I want you to pay close attention, and I hope listeners at home, unless you're driving, always pull up a picture of them too to play along. What do you notice special about this shell? And forget about the cannons jutting out of it.
I wish I could. The two cannons coming out.
What else do you notice here?
I mean, the shell has like specific spaces for the cannons. Is that, you're not asking me about that though.
No. What do you notice about how the shell is sort of shaped at the edge, so to speak, or the
it's
skirt?
It's got white all around the
Okay. Is rim, it a rim, smooth rim. You know, Squirtle's was like a turtle shell where it was kind of like pretty round, like pretty.
It's kind of, the edges are a little bit more squiggly.
Imagine an animal.
I'm trying to figure out what you want me to say.
That has two of those shells.
Okay.
Does it resemble anything to you?
An animal.
This is gonna be wild to you, okay? You ready?
What?
Besides the cannons.
Coconut?
This is a coconut Pokemon. So to give you an example, Charmander was a lizard Pokemon.
Yes.
Charmeleon and Charizard were flame Pokemons.
Sure.
Sure. Squirtle was known as the tiny turtle Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Wartortle was known as the turtle Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You would imagine continuing on, this would be the big turtle Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
This is the shellfish Pokemon.
No, no, no. Check your sources. That's impossible. No, it's not. What do you mean it's the shellfish Pokemon? Like, that's the type?
You heard me exactly.
That's the type?
So...
No, no, no. Goodbye, no.
Blastoise cannons, according to Bulbapedia, may have been derived from functioning tubes found in mussels and some other shellfish, thus its category name.
That is such a stretch.
Bulbapedia also mentions that. That is such a stretch.
They definitely put guns on this turtle and then tried to find a way to be like, well, I guess we have to make it different now.
You seem upset.
Huh. Yeah, I'm a little irritated.
These cannons can be extended and withdrawn. This is shown in the cannon.
Of course. He's basically a pirate ship of a privateer.
Some people call him the tank turtle, which I kind of liked on some of the communities. This guy comes to your birthday party and been a while.
No, he doesn't. He's not invited.
And you're like, oh my gosh, Mr. Blastus, you've grown. You must be,
11 feet tall by now.
5'3". What? Just like your father.
What? It's not 5'3".
And if you were to pick one of these up at the grocery store to see how much this would set you back per pound.
Wait, are they shopping too? Or are they for sale to eat?
It's a shellfish. You buy those at the seafood aisle.
Yeah.
I don't know if Blastus is a sustainable seafood choice.
5'3". I'm going to say that Blastoise is 150 pounds.
189. Pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a round, big, I mean, like,
he looks
fellow.
A bit like a coconut in this picture. Drawing.
This captured image.
That I found in a textbook.
Yeah. 5'3", 180 pounds. Same strengths as all the others. Against steel, fire, water, and ice. Weak against grass and electricity. You know. They evolved.
Like shellfish. Classically weak against grass.
They evolved from what again?
They evolved from Wartortle.
Who evolved from?
Squirtle.
Very good.
This looks more like Wartortle. Way more.
Yeah, this is...
Why wasn't this Wartortle?
I think they called Wartortle Wartortle. I'm imagining they drew them in order. And then the artist came back with this and they're like, well, we've already told everyone this
one. We've already
sent
that one to the presses.
We always send them to strip. We don't put them all together. Well, this one's just Blastoise then.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
Ready for the Pokédex entry?
Yes. The poem, you mean?
Blastoise. A brutal Pokémon with pressurized water jets on its shell. They are used for high-speed tackles. Once it takes aim at its enemy, it blasts out water with even more force than a fire hose.
Okay. Great.
No problem with that?
No problem with that compared to everything else.
My problem is that it says it's a Pokemon with pressurized water jets and are used for high-speed tackles. Am I to assume it shoots them in a direction and like propels itself forward?
Based on... Oh.
It says it uses it for high-speed tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it says it also takes aim at their enemy as like a fire hose would. So I assume these can move around.
See.
Yeah.
Okay. Once it takes... Okay. Okay. All right. Huh. So, well, didn't you say earlier that they can move or... No, they can just be extended and withdrawn. So we don't know that they can move.
They must. Otherwise, how are they tackling them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see your point. Ugh.
Yeah. So they're new.
What a confusing creature.
So the only attack that they evolve that is new to this realm of Pokemon is Hydro Pump, which, as you could probably guess, is... Well, like, what would you guess Hydro Pump
blasting
is?
Somebody with water, I would assume?
Yes.
Like a water gun?
Yep.
Yeah.
And like they can... All the... It's also funny, though, because... You imagine Hydro Pump is like, you have to have like a pumping thing for that. But nope, all of the, like, Squirtle and Wartortle could learn it too if they don't evolve into Blastoise. So.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. Margaret, I really only have one other fun fact.
Please.
This was just from the canon as well, as I was researching. Apparently Blastoise can, it says, deliberately makes itself heavy to withstand other powerful blasts and to crush its opponents that it sends out, so that it doesn't like,
makes itself heavy?
Recoil. Yeah, so I think.
Does that mean just kind of like be dead weight?
I don't understand when it said that.
Matter is sort of.
Yeah, like does he suck in a bunch of air and then he's just like, okay, I'm grounded. And then shoots a bunch of water at people.
Wow. And then can I also share just one thing I'm thinking about? What are the cannons made of? Is it like keratin? Is it stain, calcium
it's
bone?
American steel.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Yes. Great.
I have no idea what it's made out of. I'm assuming it's made out of what a cannon's made out of.
How?
No,
all right,
not answering
fine.
That.
I will get over it.
All right. No. I think you need 20 minutes just to cool off.
I do.
And during those 20 minutes, it would be great, Margaret, if you found time to research and find living or non-living things that has traits that most resemble what this Pokemon could do. We're going to go to research, Margaret. You
I'm
need to
just
take
research
a chill pill.
Cannon fire.
Well, you can do that. All right, everyone. We'll be right back.
Be right back.
And we are back. Margaret, have you calmed down?
I've buried it.
Okay.
I've buried my issues. They'll come out later.
I feel like you've maybe not dealt with it in a...
It's fine.
All right. Well, we are going to spin a wheel. The famous copywritten reel of names.
.com. All right. Spinning. Whoever it lands on gets to go first. Come on.
Glitch in the Matrix.
It's me.
Dang. All right.
Hooray. Margaret, we have a winner. It's me.
What did you research about?
Okay. So I researched this little tidbit from the Pokedex. So according to the Pokedex, Blastoise's cannons may have been derived from the functioning tubes found in mussels and some shellfish.
Yes.
I would add cephalopods to this list. They also have those functioning tubes. And cephalopods.
Are you going
to
break down those?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Don't you worry. Cephalopods include octopus, squid, cuttlefish, and nautilus. So when the Pokedex says functioning tubes, I think, Camden, what they're really talking about are siphons. So the idea, I guess, is that evolutionarily Blastoise's cannons may have evolved from siphons. So what are siphons, Camden?
They are tubes.
Tubes.
And they, I don't know if they propel water out in those animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can also feed through them.
Yes, they can. Some of them. Mm-hmm.
They can bring water into like filtered feed sort of through them.
Some animals do. Yep.
But some animals can use it literally to like jet propel themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like an octopus can use its siphon that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're hitting all the points. So a siphon, according to the Smithsonian, is a funnel that expels water. So if you have ever seen, or if you look at an octopus, a squid, etc., and you see something that looks like a straw, that is the siphon. And like you were saying, you're alluding to octopuses, other animals with siphons, they bring water into their bodies. And that is called a mantle in the case of cephalopods. That's that body cavity. They then shoot that water out of their siphon to for a variety of purposes that we'll get into. So imagine that you submerged a straw in water and then all of a sudden pushed all of the water out of the straw.
I can imagine that.
You can imagine that? Excellent. Thank you so much for participating in that mental exercise. So what is the point of a siphon? Cameron, you mentioned jet propulsion?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay.
Great job. So according to many sources, including Science Friday, siphons help cephalopods, other animals, move. So Newton's third law of motion can help us out with this movement. And as a reminder, that third law states that every action has an equal opposite reaction. Now Hamilton is in my head. I did take 3 minutes of my 20 to look up Washington's on your side. Yep.
Oops.
So in order to move quickly, an octopus will fill her mantle, again, that body cavity, with water and then push the water out of the siphon really fast. So the octopus is sent jetting off in the opposite direction of the way that water came out of her siphon. Why would they want to be able to move fast, Camden?
They get away from things.
I would say it might be more often get away from things.
I'm just thinking of like National Geographic Discovery mm-hmm. Channel like mm-hmm. videos, and I feel mm-hmm. like it's often to like shoot away.
Yes, it's often to get away from predators, absolutely. And speaking of predators, another reason that a siphon is really helpful is because in many animals, siphons expel ink. So if an octopus, if a squid is stressed by another animal, by something in their environment, they can shoot ink out of their siphon and obscure the vision of whatever predator is around. So really, really helpful, again, for survival, for escape. What else does a siphon do, Camden?
I mentioned filter feed.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some animals that have siphons, like clams and other mollusks. We'll get into that in a second. They will use their siphons to bring in the tiny little microscopic food that they like. Absolutely. Any other ideas?
Oh.
It's okay if you...
play the penny flute solo from the Titanic.
I've never seen it done, but boy...
Well, it's underwater, so it's
what an experience. What an experience. Yes, I suppose they could. But a really important thing for the continuation of a species is...
Oh, is it like a spermatophore?
Yes, that is one thing. A spermatophore, kind of like a... It's called a sperm packet for octopuses. That comes out of a male octopus's or squid's siphon. But then once that's fertilized, what comes out of a female cephalopod siphon?
Eggs.
When a female cephalopod lays her eggs, those eggs come out through the siphon.
It's a multifunctional tool.
It is. And we haven't even gotten to all of the things it can do. I know. So also, they can bring in water to an animal's body, which helps to provide oxygen, and that oxygen goes to the animal's gills, which are also inside that mantle. And then when an animal, as we all do, eventually has to expel waste, then that siphon is what gets rid of poop.
Oh, wow. That is a multifunctional siphon.
I know. It's the Swiss Army knife of cephalopod appendages.
So, yikes. So... I'm supposed to assume that Blastus.
Hold on. We'll get to Blastoise in 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm worried that these...
You should be.
In the anime, you're like, oh, it shoots out water. And they're like, that's not all it does. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You should really see him after he's had a big meal.
We'll get there. So, yeah, like you said, siphons do so much, from helping animals move away from danger to helping them release their babies. They are an incredible part, multi-purpose part of
Margaret's
animals'
hands are high
body
in the
plan.
Air.
They're up. They're waving around. I know I've been talking a lot about cephalopods, like octopuses and their relatives, but many, many other animals have siphons too. For example, according to Wikipedia, many bivalves have them also. Bivalves are animals like clams, scallops, mussels, etc. And they're any animal that has two parts.
Hence by, like a bicycle.
Yep, held together by a hinge. And if a bivalve has a siphon, which not all of them do, they will have two. And as I was saying earlier, one siphon brings in water and nutrients and food, and the other one pushes that out.
So maybe that's what... our boy Blastoise.
Does he have two?
He has two.
Okay. And then finally, some marine gastropods, like marine snails, may have a siphon, especially if they tend to burrow down into the sand and may not have that much access to water flowing over them. So that siphon helps them bring water over their gills and helps them breathe. So as we've said many times, siphons can do a lot, but they can't shoot cannonballs or other projectiles out of them, which is fine. They do so much more. And in my opinion, this is an example yet again of real life being cooler than fiction. So sorry, Blastoise. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, short of like fire breathing, I think everything we always find is way cooler.
So that is what I researched. Camden, can you shed more light on Blastoise's realism?
Thanks, Margaret. That was really good.
You're welcome.
I appreciate hearing that from a marine science educator.
Thank you.
So I took our very first trip. I knew it would come at some point, but I took our very first trip down the lane of non-biological to non-biology land.
That's a scary place.
It is a scary place. But as a science educators, we sometimes have to traipse there. So they mentioned Bulbapedia. You did a great job talking about maybe the origins of how they tried to make this. Oh, no, it's like a clam. That's where he got it from. So I wanted to get into the hosiery, the fire.
The hosiery?
The fire hose nature.
Like the stockings. Nylons, yes, and the stockings? Yes. Okay.
Of Blastoise to figure out exactly what, just like what.
What would what the mechanics like be? The how would that work?
Part of it, right? Yeah. Like how much could that work?
Yeah. Tell me about
that. So we're getting to the mechanics. Okay. So first little history lesson, Margaret. When was the first fire hose invented?
1974.
Yikes.
No, I'm going to say the first fire hose, 1831.
And where was it invented?
New Zealand.
It was invented in 1673 in Amsterdam.
Okay.
But it was not pressurized.
Oh, I see. So it was a tube that contained water sometimes.
It replaced the fire brigade of people standing with buckets of water and just going down the line.
So probably an improvement.
Yes. And the first one in the United States was in 1794, installed in Philadelphia. And this one was slightly pressurized. They used like the mechanics of like a water tower, which
pushes water down.
If it's taller than where it's coming out, there will be increased pressure. So that's how water towers work. And that's why they're usually
tall.
Not only tall, but high up in wherever city. In case anyone is ever wondering, it's obviously really hard to put water up there. So if you're just wondering why they just didn't keep it in the ground, that's why. But that fire hose was made out of leather.
Oh.
So one thing is fire hoses were wildly heavy back in the day.
Yeah.
And they would tear and break all the time. They're now synthetic materials that are very strong, but
and I'm sure
and they fold up much more easily. I was going to say
they compress much more easily.
Yep. So fire hose, I didn't really think about this, but sort of addressed a misconception, I think, because I really never thought about how fire hoses and all of that work.
No.
So like a handheld hose, there's several of those inside fire trucks or fire engines, depending on what you call them. Most of them also have a deluge hose.
A deluge?
Which, what do you guess that hose does?
Flood.
It is made out of like iron or steel, and it is handles intense pressures, and people can like sort of point it at the fire, and it's like attached to the fire engine.
So, I would, can't you point all hoses at the fire?
Yeah, but what I meant was like it's attached, like it's not a movable thing. Like,
oh, I
you can
see.
Rotate it,
but you can't.
But it's steel, so that it can like take a greater pressure. Yeah. So just like there's multiple types of hoses, but that's like the big one. Fire trucks can store about 1,000 to 3,000 gallons of water in them.
Really?
So I did not really think about this before. So they have water in them. And maybe there's a lot of people listening who are like, yeah, you idiot.
Well, that would be
unkind. Be rude of them. How dare you? But I didn't really think about that piece of it. And they pressurize the water by sending it past very fast moving motors that basically kind of like spin and sling the water through the hose at a very big speed.
A big speed.
Yes, a big, big, big speed. So it uses that water. However, as you can maybe guess, while a thousand-ish gallons of water is a lot, fire hoses are shooting them very fast.
Yes. If you've
seen a fire hose or witnessed, like, they put out a lot of water at a very high pressure, they will run out of water.
Pretty soon.
So where do they get more water from?
Fire hydrants.
Yes. So there is a part of me that had never really thought about where the, it was sort of a black box. There's a hydrant and a hose and the house they hook that's it up on fire.
And then that's the end.
I had always, and you always see like cartoons where they like bust the fire hydrant over or, you know, open. It like explodes with water.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really pressurized that much. Like you can't just attach hose to hydrant to shoot the water out.
That's actually a relief because say that someone, you know, like lightly hit a fire hose with their car.
A fire hydrant?
Or sorry, a fire hydrant with their car. You wouldn't want it to explode. Correct. That would be too much pressure.
I always felt like that was something I never really thought about. But so the truck is the doing the pressurizing. The hydrant provides more water to the truck.
Okay.
Which, again, there might be a lot of people here like, yikes, you taught our children science. Look, how often...
It wasn't fire hose science. Yeah,
also, how often do you think I was telling them about fire hoses?
Not enough.
Not enough. There's also foams inside the water they bring to help with fire extinguishing. Like a fire extinguisher has a lot of foam in it.
Okay.
That just is something they can add to the water too, which I thought was interesting. So fun little part here to think about how much pressure is inside a fire hose. A working pressure of a fire hose is around, my citations were Wikipedia and How Stuff Works. That was where most of all this came from.
Nice.
Between 116 and 290 PSI. So different pressure, the deluge hose can put out a bigger pressure.
Mm-hmm.
For reference, the fire water coming out of the fire hydrant comes out at about 50 PSI, which is
the hydrant.
The hydrant.
Okay.
And it's 116 to 290 PSI coming out of the fire hose.
Wow.
Being shot out of the fire engine. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're increasing the pressure like 3, 4, 5 fold.
Mm-hmm.
The average pressure inside a balloon that a human has blown up is 15 PSI, just to give you a reference.
Yeah, that really makes me think a little bit less of fire hydrants.
An aerosol is like the duster you use for like a computer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosol can is about 145 PSI.
Oh.
So sort of in that middle zone of, obviously it's not, I mean, it would, you know, it's different amounts of liquid you're getting hit with, and getting hit with air is a different density than getting hit with water. The average human bite has 162 PSI, pounds per square inch of pressure.
How many?
162.
Okay.
And then I just kept going up. A paintball gun can shoot at 250 pounds per square inch.
Oh, so I that doesn't convince me to play paintball.
No. And so now you can think, oh, a fire hose can hit me at the same pressure as a paintball gun.
Mm.
So yeah, fire hose can do some damage. A lion's bite is around 1,000 PSI.
Oh, okay. Okay. And
alligator's bite is almost 3,000 PSI.
Oh, no.
So at least they're not shooting alligators at you.
That's true. And also that would be pretty ineffective against fire.
Yes.
I think.
If you could harness the alligator's bite and convert that energy towards putting fires out, then
maybe. And scientists right now are working on that technology.
Yeah, don't you worry. They're hot on the case. So yeah, that's a bit how fire hoses work. Hydrants are necessary because a truck full of 3,000 gallons of water can
too
run
heavy.
Out.
Oh, I see.
Well, yeah, not too heavy part.
So sorry. I just think that would be
are
so...
Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter. Wait, no. I do. I never use it. I was not on Twitter. No.
Yeah. So, no. It'll run out of that water. But... And, Margaret, we're going to use this now, I think, to convert in, or to transition seamlessly into Great. Our last segment, which is where we rank...
Yes.
Our Pokemon from 0 to 10 Pokeballs and you know how what? Real it is.
You know what the hallmark of a seamless transition is?
What?
When you call it out.
Yes.
When you say this upcoming Shush. Now is Shush. A seamless and, transition.
And now it seamlessly transitions. Hush. Silence. Mm-hmm. Blastoise is not full of 1,000
no.
pounds or 1,000 gallons of water.
No.
That he's 189 pounds.
Poundingtons.
Mm-hmm. So even if he is 70% water, he's got what, like 130 gallons of water in him?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a water packet shot at you. It'd be like a water cannonball, which would hurt once.
Mm-hmm.
But people, like, when you get hit with a fire hose, it's sort of the continued water that's the problem.
That's really the, yeah.
It's not
yeah.
just like a...
yeah.
So... I'm choosing to go first since I went last.
Yep, go ahead.
I think that's incredibly unrealistic. He would run out of water. Mm-hmm. They didn't mention anything about Blastoise having to be in water to keep his cannons filled.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be extremely ineffective unless he's just using it to water a garden and it's not pressurized.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, like, even on that end of it, if I were to suspend all the disbelief of whether an animal can do that, what were you saying?
Oh, did you ever do that thing where you put a pool noodle one yes. end of it oh. in the water and then you yes. blew on it and then it like out the water at the other end?
Yeah.
I should go to the pool more.
That's all you
I miss the pool. Well, that's a lot like a siphon.
Sure. Or a hydro
pump. Yeah.
So
I was just wondering if maybe Blastoise utilized that sort of system.
Either, even then, that doesn't hurt. So no, as an doesn't. Attack, it's more annoying than anything.
If it even can happen.
So here's the thing. Even if I suspend disbelief and that can happen, it doesn't make sense for how much water he would have stored no. in him. He would dehydrate and shrivel up. He is supposedly a clam thing, and he's not. He's no. somehow the shellfish Pokemon.
No.
Which is the last thing I thought of when I saw him. I don't even understand the head. We even get into that. His head looks like a hippo's head.
Yeah, let me look at it.
Has a tail.
It's like a hippo and a pit bull had a baby.
Yes.
And that is Blastoise's head.
And his arms are ringed. We didn't even get into this like a baby's.
Like a little newborn. Like a newborn with like their little chubby arms.
Give Blastoise I think our lowest rating yet. I'm going to give him a 1. There's wow. nothing about Sir Blastus that screams anything resembling.
He has a turtle shell.
That's the one.
And a turtle-like tail.
1.5.
And two eyes like a turtle?
No, one.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
Not annoying.
Wow, Camden.
I'm giving him 1. It's useless.
Wow.
Don't okay. hurt me, Blastoise. Oh, you can't because you have no water inside you.
I mean, I agree that he is not a very realistic Pokemon. Because, you know, cannons on your back. I am also going to give him a 1. I'm also going to give him 1 Pokeball out of 10 go. For how real Blastoise is. Because... It just doesn't make sense. Really, if Blastoise did not have the cannons on their back, it would be a much, much, much higher. It'd be a Squirtle level rating. I think we gave Squirtle a pretty high score of realism, but
he also looked like a turtle. Mm-hmm. This doesn't look like mm-hmm. anything, even without the
no
cannons.
So sorry, Blastoise. I think it's ones from both of us.
Sorry, not sorry, Blastoise.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, everyone, you can support our show and other shows like us.
Other shows like us.
Other shows like us. And it's late. Like our show, Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions by supporting us on Patreon.
You can go to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg to support us and earn access to that bonus content.
Gotta Classify 'Em All is produced every other week, with public episodes like this one being published once a month. You'll get odd number episodes on our public feed on wherever you listen to your podcasts, but only the even numbered ones can be found as a fan of the show, as a Patreon supporter.
So again, I thought you were going to finish out that sentence.
I don't know what's happening. It got late all of a sudden.
So again, you can join us and support us. We really, really appreciate all of you who have already at patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg.
And after you support us at patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg, head on over to our social media pages and share everything you can about us at Instagram at don'tpeeonyourleg.
Twitter at Don't Pee on Your Leg, just the letter P.
And Facebook at facebook.com/don'tpeeonyourleg.
Gotta Classify 'Em All is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at twobirdsonescone.org.
Our original theme music is by Riley Taylor and Camillo.
And if you have a question, a comment, or you just want to suggest something to us for future episodes, please email in at gottaclassify@gmail.com.
Have a great week.
Bye.